The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in 1 Peter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. This is to remind you of the decorum with regard to the internal decorum, with regard to the intake of Bible doctrine, the function of gap. This is activated to the fullest extent when I have your undivided attention and you're in fellowship and you're looking at this information for what it is, the Word of God, what He has seen fit to reveal to the church for the well-being of the royal family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank You that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and that we are in Him, and that we share His destiny in every respect. We thank You for this opportunity to be informed with regard to our modus operandi as royal family before others. In Christ's name, amen. All right. If we are royalty, and we are, if God says we're royalty, we are royalty. And we are a royal universal priesthood, a special nation, a special category, based on God's grace, that has nothing to do with racial background, bloodlines, or anything like that. It has everything to do with our relationship to the Son of God, and that has constituted us as this. We haven't stepped into the glory yet. We will, and we will certainly appreciate the fact that this is royalty that cannot be overturned. It cannot be corrupted, like so many royal houses have been so awful and corrupt. Many have gone by the wayside, probably with some exceptions, and individual rulers at different times. Very corrupt, oppressive, in all of their wealth and luxury. It doesn't get them anything but a life of feeling good about being that, but when it's over, it's over. There's only one royal line that is perpetuated, and that's the royal house of King David. His line, the line of kings that worked all the way down to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ends the line. It doesn't mean it quits. It means that it stops with Him, and He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is why in all this that's going on in the world, the peace that I have is from the doctrine that He is the Lord of history. All authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. This is what He said after His resurrection. And so whatever people are doing, good or bad, out there, nothing whatsoever can occur that would any way jeopardize or offset the least of His word and promises. So, as royalty, these are things you and I are supposed to subscribe to. Submit yourselves. Hupotasso. Submit, subject, or subordinate yourselves. It's an imperative, an aorist passive imperative, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake is an important thing because we're doing this for the Lord. First and foremost, we are not doing this for men. Although we do it for men, we are doing it for the Lord's sake. Kurios, here, the preposition dia with the article and the word Lord, kurios. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Human is the adjective. We actually have every is pos, all, to every human anthropinos, human institution. The word institution is the word, is the noun, katesis, for creation. But we have to, for every human creation, and this is a good translation, to every human institution. We speak of things as being created in the sense of brought into existence and so forth. Whether to a king, whether the subordinate conjunction, IT, whether to a king, basileus, as comparative, as one in authority, hoop echo, present participle, means it can mean to be better than, it can mean to govern or have authority over. Whether to a king, this would be a ruler that's at the top of the establishment chain of command in a nation. Or to governors. Whether to governor. You probably have heard this word used in the English language. Hegemon. Whether to governors as sent by him. There's your chain of command. As sent, present participle, pempo, to send, through him, deal with the pronoun. For the punishment of evildoers. That's a primary responsibility of the divine institution of nationalism, and one of the primary things is for the punishment of evildoers. The word punishment is ek dikesis, for the punishment of evildoers. An evildoer is an adjective here in the plural, kakopoios, from the word evil and to do. And the praise of those who do right. This is in the ideal situation, that the rulers honor those who among the citizenry who do what was right, do what is right. And the praise here speak well of epinos, the praise of the one who does right. Only here do we have this particular one, agathopoios, the one who does right. Point one. The imperative, submit yourselves, directs our attention to the establishment chain of command. It is used of the subjection of demons to the power of God in those verses, of children to parents, of wives to husbands, those verses, of employees to bosses, of believers to the royal chain of command. That would be pastor, teacher, and board of deacons. We are told in those verses that we are to submit to the authority of these leaders, of believers to God, James 4, of subjection of all things to Christ. All things are subject and under his authority. And he has, of course, the divine attribute of omnipotence to back it up, and omniscience to know what's going on. So that if individuals or societies or nations get out of line, then God will intervene accordingly. Of believers to the government, Romans 13, 1 and 5, 1 Peter 2, 13. And another one, of the fact that the sin nature is not subject to plus R. It doesn't have any dealing with plus R. If an unbeliever, what unbeliever would overrule is he have a conscience and he wouldn't go with certain STA things. Okay. The other principal verb used in the New Testament with respect to authority is hoop akuo. That means to listen under. That literally means to listen under. That's what you're doing. You're listening under, if you recognize this, a divinely established authority. Now, I've been given instructions in the Bible how to wear my authority. Okay, I know that. But it doesn't change the fact that I am as much an authority as any other authority legitimately that you've had or have in your life, as in the list of things. I have authority. It's God-given. And I exercise it. I have authority to decide what to teach, when to teach, and various things of this nature. I am not overbearing with it, I don't think. I'm not a bully. I'm not to be a bully and misuse my authority. I am to... Jesus told his disciples, you have authority, but you don't act like those Gentile rulers cracking the whip. That doesn't mean you can't, whereas Paul said to the Corinthians, the things that were going on there, and he was going to come back as a visit, he wanted him to get everything cleared up so he didn't come back and have to wield a proverbial club. In other words, he didn't have to come in there. He wanted to come in there gentle and teach them the past is the past. Get this cleaned up before I come. Because if I come, I will pull rank on you. And who backs up an ordinary man? God. God does. He backs the authorities he establishes when they do the right thing. Okay? Everybody's favorite subject, authority. The STA doesn't like authority. The STA is antinomian. That means against law. Rebellious. In humans. That's one of the reasons people don't like this type of a teaching environment. Because it is communicated with authority. That was one of the selling points when I first heard doctrine from Theme on the way he handled himself from the pulpit. I had never heard that before. Oh, I have preachers raise their voices and do things, but I'd never seen the authority thing came through. And then as I learned the doctrine of the pastor-teacher and the ground rules for the pastor-teacher, I realized that he, once he's established in a local church, he's their spiritual authority in Christ. He's their spiritual guide, etc., etc. And so I made up my mind that I wasn't going to be manipulated by some deacon coming to my office. I've had it a few times. It's just, to me, I listened. But it was water off a duck's bill. I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. You had your say. You vented. In the back of my mind, and you're going to hit the road. Too bad. That's the other verb that is used 21 times. We're on page 25.3 of your notes, subpoint 3 in the analysis. It is used of God's power over nature. Matthew 8:27. I think that's the one only reason I'm turning there is because if it's the one I'm thinking it is. I always like this one. When Jesus stilled the storm on the sea, when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, the Lake Galilee, and with his disciples, and Jesus, true humanity, he was tired. So he was taking a nap. And a storm came up. And he was oblivious to it in his humanity. And the disciples, I'm in Matthew. I do this because I like this one a lot, because he is Lord over nature. See, he isn't just Lord over people and everything. He has authority over it. And if you have authority over something, you have to have some kind of power to enforce it. Okay? Or it's just talk. You're a parent. You have authority over your children regarding their behavior. They have STAs. And the more you let them run amok, the more you're going to suffer. And you're not doing God's will. You've got to know how and when prayerfully to administer parental discipline and correction as the situation demands it. There has to be a certain, like we have, there has to be a certain fear. If I step over this line, this could happen. And you have to be consistent. You have to be fair. The punishment must meet the offense. Or you're not gonna like the outcome. Years go by. Because maybe you were raised in a home that was the other way, extreme, or whatever it was. Just follow the biblical pattern. But I wanted to tell you this one because it's one of the most familiar episodes. This was after some guy came to Jesus. Imagine me saying this to somebody. He said, I'll follow you, but permit me first to go and bury my father. Does that sound like perfectly reasonable? Normally, it is. But under certain circumstances, relative to the Christian life, he has a higher priority. I know that'd be hard for people to imagine. But look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, follow me. That means be in close association and proximity. Not just generally follow his teaching, but and allow the dead to bury the dead. You know what he's saying? His father, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Because the family, unbelievers. Otherwise, that's making no sense. It makes perfect sense. Somebody has a family that are non-believers. And the father dies. I'm not saying you can't go to their service. But if you had a higher priority, you could. When he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. Now these fellows had been out on that sea as fishermen, and they knew how to handle when a storm popped up, and on the Sea of Galilee, they could pop up at any time. It could be just as calm one minute, and then all this wind comes down over the mountain, and the Sea of Galilee is cranking. And this is a good-sized fishing boat. I saw one of those when I was in Israel. They had dug it out of the mud at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee from the day of Jesus. And that was the only thing in the little museum, a Jesus boat. from his time, technically a boat for going out and throwing a net out and catching fish. And they came to him and woke, saying, "Save us, Lord! We are perishing." They're under their STAs. They're under fear. We might sympathize with them. They're not going to perish. God has a plan for them. But when you're under your STA, you kind of forget about that. Well, maybe there's an exception. Maybe we're all going to drown with the Messiah. Instead of faith resting it. I mean, they could have woke him up and said, look, we're struggling with this thing. Any ideas? And he says to them, he rebukes them for fear. Why are you afraid? Next time the locals get up there on that TV. And this is coming. This is coming. I think they like to do that. I don't know. I could be wrong. I may be misjudging them. But it's stir people up. And then a lot of times, nothing much happens. I remember one time there was a really big one coming. I just went to bed and slept. This is where I'm at. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm not going to run around. I'm not going to try to get fortification out of a liquor bottle, which I call liquid faith rest. No. I'm going to sleep. And I never even heard the darn thing. I slept sound. Got up the next morning, everything was fine. So This is what he says. He rebukes these scared believers, disciples. Why are you afraid? You think God's lost control of his plan because of this big storm? That you're having to be tossed around, you're bailing water out of this boat because it's getting filled up and you're dumping it back and more comes in? Why are you afraid? Ask yourself that. When I get under fear and worry, I ask myself, this is not God's will for my life. Period. I am sinning. I am out of fellowship. The Lord has told me to fear nothing but Him. Really? Stop being afraid. Whatever it is. This is what he would tell anyone. Fear does not glorify God. It's kind of like a moment of God's not in control now. Of course, you wouldn't say that, but that's what you're acting out. Or fearing something coming down the road. And a lot of people are stirred up constantly by fear. I see this map online all the time on the MSN thing where you can scroll through. There's so much junk. Stupid stuff. And some interesting. Some just curiosity stuff. Doesn't matter much. But one is, what are the best places to be in the United States if a nuclear war breaks out? So I'm going to go run around and try to find one of those? And so in the military term, when the balloon goes up, I'm going to run and jump in this hole in the ground or this better place? Well, we know that's not going to happen. We know when it's going to happen and we aren't going to be here. Let the rest of them deal with it. They'll have doctrine if they want it. They can tell each other through the tribulation, stop being afraid. If I die, I'm going to die glorifying God and get my reward on the other side. If it's His will for me to make it through these 7 years, okay. You men of little faith, normally you would expect someone to pat him on the head or some kind of little ditty to say, he's rebuking them. And they're scared. You men of little faith, you're not exhibiting faith. Messiah didn't come down here to get in a boat and drown with you. You've seen all the miracles. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? He got up. Jesus taps into his deity. He taps into his deity. His humanity couldn't have stopped that. Only as an instrument of tapping into his deity. He tapped into his deity. He got up and rebuked the winds, the air, whatever miles an hour it was, and the sea. Now, normally, I've been out on water when the water was high, and in a big ship, out fishing with my father on Lake Angostura and outside Hot Springs, and we got caught in a good one. Before we could get back to the dock, it was pretty testy, but we made it. We had a motor on the back and all that, you know. So, as the winds die down, then the water dies back down, right? That's the way it works, normally. On this one, you would have been freaked out if you were observing the raging white caps out there on that water, and then all of a sudden, it just goes dead calm. The molecules of water are stopped, and the wind just quits, not dies down gradually. That freaked them out. That's against nature, what we call water being affected. Water is very sensitive to things, movement, air, anything. Water is like what water is. We all know that. And the men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Well, I wonder. I wonder what kind of man this is. To anybody who first saw him, he looked like an ordinary, average, young, 30-ish male. But he tapped into his deity. He didn't do it for his own benefit. He did it as I am Lord over nature. And don't say to me, "Well, that was back then," or whatever. It's not true. I told you the story. One pretty Friday day, Gary England, who wasn't an excitable one, he's usually calm. Not like these guys we got now. He said, "There's an F whatever tornado coming right to Woodland Park." That's right over there. And I came up, and I'd been over here studying, and I went over, sat down in front of the TV. And then he says, "I've never seen this before. That tornado was going this direction, east, and it just went north like that. It just turned and went the other direction. I guess it didn't harm anybody out there in the country. And ran its course." And I thought, well, that's a good lesson for you, Jack. This property was protected completely. Not that we can't suffer some kind of damage from some kind of storm event, yes. I wanted to share that with you. And of course, his power over demons. There was a lot of demon possession in Israel at the first advent, which would indicate that things, the spiritual life of the nation wasn't in good order. He cast out a lot of demons. Thousands of them he delivered people from. And he used his deity and his authority, and the demon came out. They knew who they were talking to. They were talking to God. Okay, we were on the verb of authority, hupakoo, is used of power over nature, over demons. The salvation adjustment is related to the power of God in these verses. Following the STA, application of Bible doctrine, children to parents, employees to bosses, and so forth. We've already given you some of this, but you get to hear it again. Children to parents, you can look it up. They're supposed to obey you. Employees to bosses. He doesn't always have to be fair. I'll get to that. Believers to their under-shepherd. Again, we repeat it. Wives to husbands. Events to exhale faith. The cognate verb, hupakoe, of positive volition to Bible doctrine, to listen under. Of Christ to his kenosis. That's just amazing. That's theological, technical language for his humanity was subject, and he did not violate this ground rule to tap in to his deity to benefit his humanity. I'm hungry. I'll tap into it. I'm not hungry. I'm tired. I'm not tired. He couldn't do that. That was the ground rules. He only did it once, and that's when he checked himself out at the end of the ordeal on the cross. That's the only time he did it for his benefit. That ended the suffering, humanly speaking, on the cross. Believers to the STA or the Holy Spirit, obeying the STA or the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit, of saving faith, of spiritual leadership, of bringing the strongholds, and I like that one too, because we are seeing that all over the place, and believers have all through history. It's just today the amount of people and the technology that they're using. Let me see here. Is that the wrong verb? Okay. Here's what we're doing. It doesn't sound like it. But we are. You have to think about this a little bit. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. This isn't dealing with literal physical fortresses. It is dealing with ideologies and movements of people doing these things in unison with each other. Ideas, concepts. We are destroying speculations. Well, there's plenty of those. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, like the doctrine of creation. And all of its side. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When we hear this stuff, in our minds, we cite Scripture and doctrine. And we're bringing this into captivity. It's not bringing us down. We're not, when we get doctrine, we're not being influenced and driven by it. We can laugh it off. It's coming to an end. The wisdom of the wise, the corrupt wise. It's going to come down. Are they ever going to be humiliated? When it is exposed that all they put their life, energy into it, everything for this mess, these false concepts, religious, scientific, and so forth, political, it's all going to be brought down and exposed for the bankruptcy and the evil that it is. So when I hear something, it's like the old, for those of you who are around, the old Pac-Man game. We're going to bring this into captivity. Got that one. You say, you may not think that's a real thing, but it glorifies God. And you're bringing it into captivity. And the Lord is going to deal with it accordingly. Whether you do or whether you don't. The object of the imperative submit is every human institution. Point six. The adjective human occurs with the noun katesis, which in every other New Testament use refers to the creature or the creation of God. 8. Peter's phrase is in reference to human authorities within the ECC. The establishment chain of command. That's the ECC. It's not some organization over in Europe or somewhere else. The establishment chain of command. There is an establishment chain of command, nations or governments, that we live under. The reference includes the laws that individuals appointed to various offices are commissioned to uphold. Any officer of the government is in view in this expression. 11. These individuals are worthy of respect because the authority of divine institution number 4, nationalism, is ordained of God. Romans 13. We studied that there. We as Christians can't blow that off and say that has no authority over us. It has authority over us. The phrase "for the Lord's sake" references the real basis of Peter's appeal. When believers honor those responsible for law and order within a civilization, they are honoring the one who authored nationalism. Without the ECC, the establishment chain of command, we could not live quiet and peaceful lives. We can thank God for this. Because if we didn't have this, we wouldn't be meeting here tonight. So the police out there, on up the ladder, are maintaining this against those who would foster anarchy. And there's plenty of those in this country. More than ever, apparently. They've always been there. Now they're being encouraged in certain places. It's not safe anymore. I read these articles. All the restaurants shutting down in Washington, D.C., because people don't want to be out when it's dark. Hijackings and all the other stuff that's going on. In the nation's capital. Don't go there. Don't go down there. Don't be in that area of the city. This is more common than ever. Because those who are governors and mayors and so forth are letting this stuff run amok in certain places. We're in a better place here in Oklahoma City in regards to these matters. And now all these great empires of antiquity, they went down because this started breaking down. It started breaking down. And they weren't following the rules that got them where they got, to their high point. And then corruption at the top goes down, and away we go. As I said, of the Roman Empire, it rotted from within. It wasn't the barbarians. We can deal with them. But as it rotted within, they were opened up to invasion and other things of this nature. And these nations, and so they go down. They go up, and then they go down a path. And definitely, we're down. We're on the downhill slide. Because our rulers are not abiding by their oaths of office and upholding the laws of the land. That's obvious. More than ever. But we're going to make it through. We just keep praying for our local authorities, keep everything in order down here so we can take in Bible doctrine, go to our jobs, do the normal things we do. We do not take this for granted. There are good ones out there. They're trying to maintain the right thing. It's no accident that a lot of these big American cities are just absolutely, physically and otherwise, just awful places. They didn't used to be that way. Out on the street, just yesterday or whatever, we got Palestinian protesters burning the American flag, and these fools are chanting, "Death to America, death to Israel." Well, you dummy, you live in America. What the, if it's so bad, what are you doing here? They ought to kick them out. They ought to round these people up. But we don't have it in us anymore. The leaders are as bad as they are in that they're giving this a pass. There are policemen that are leaving their cities, going to other places to be policemen because they can't do their job there. It's the last days. Lawlessness will abound. Thank God we're where we're at. We're in one of the better places in the United States for a large city. But it's happening in small towns too. You wouldn't want to live there. So, without the establishment chain of command, we could not live quiet and peaceful lives and pursue godliness and pursue our spiritual interests. Our first responsibility is God, and then we're to live our lives so that we're not a problem with regard to the society around us. Because we abide by the laws. The final phrase of verse 13 directs our attention to the chief officer within the establishment chain of command. For the readers, this refers to the emperor or Caesar. And some of these Caesars had a lot of problems. They were pagans, they were this and that, but still, they're responsible for law and order, if you will, and protection of the population, so they can go about their lives, and so forth. The noun king is used in the Bible for the man at the top. The Romans did not refer to their leaders as kings. Okay. When Peter mentions the king or sovereign as sovereign, there is no doubt who he means. 20, the emperor of the time of Peter's letter was none other than Nero. And was he something else? In 64 AD, the great fire in Rome was blamed on the Christian community. They made him a scapegoat. During the decade, Peter and Paul were martyred. Believers went into the Colosseum because they would not turn against their faith and renounce it. Caesar can't ask me to do that. I mean, he can ask me, but I don't. But I have to. I appeal to a higher authority, and the higher authority is God, and so I can resist evil from government authorities. They can't ask me to do that. I got to be in the will of God. The Roman emperors were absolute dictators who were occupied by their or corrupted by their lack of accountability and immense power. Yet believers are told to submit to these men for the Lord's sake. The establishment chain of command derives its authority from God. Again, Romans 13:1. To resist officers when they're in the establishment chain of command is to go up against God. Romans 13:2. Romans 13 is the big chapter on this. But there's a lot here. In verse 14, Peter continues to be specific as he brings his appeal closer to where his readers actually live. It is often easier to honor the emperor from a distance than to respect the authority of his local representatives. The term governors was applied to provincial magistrates within the empire, variously called legates, procurators, or consuls. Pliny, the governor of Bithynia, who sought counsel from the emperor Trajan on the question of how he should deal with Christians accused of subversion. Subversion doesn't mean they're trying to start a revolution. That was something they were wrongly charged with because they wouldn't follow the pagan aspect of the culture. So they were subversives. In a lot of places we live in the world today, Christians are under attack by their governments. And letting citizens attack Christians and trying to deny them freedom of religion and assembly. You might have heard of some of them around the world today. They're under pressure. India, of course, Iran, and I've read of some other countries where the Christians, whatever their brand, are under attack because they bear the name Christian. This is more and more common, just like anti-Semitism is up, high on the Richter scale. But this is to get the Jews back home and get them out of those countries. I told you we were off of YouTube. We still are, as far as you know. I could have said anything. Exposing evil out here. We'll try to find some other, possibly, if we don't get back on. So what? I don't expect they're going to like the divine viewpoint. I have a mandate. Expose evil. Point it out to your congregation, so they can bring every thought into captivity for Christ. Something said or done, well, that's way out of line. They're taking sins and now saying it's okay to do this. And all I have to do is report what the Bible says is a sin. Christians are told to submit to the emperor because he is sovereign, and to the magistrates because they are commissioned by him under the chain of command. For the responsibility of civil governments to punish evildoers, compare Paul's statement in Romans 13:4. This is what the establishment chain of command does, and this works its way all the way down to courts, to officials. The establishment chain of command is an avenger. An avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Also, we executed another guy in Oklahoma. Took him 20 years. You convicted him of murder. And you kept him at taxpayers' expense for 20 years so you can make a dozen appeals. And now you execute him. Well, finally, you did the right thing, but the lesson that has to come home. You say, well, sometimes an innocent person gets convicted. I know, the system isn't perfect. There are instances where an innocent person has been convicted and then later on they found out, oh, it wasn't his DNA. They make mistakes. That doesn't mean they ought to quit. They ought to get these people so that in Israel, under the law of Moses, there were certain crimes. They got them, they tried them, they convicted them, and they executed them real quick. They even would hang their body up for a day on a stake and put a sign over it. He did this. So on a crossroad where a lot of people traveled, I don't think I want to do that. That kind of brings it home, doesn't it? I don't want to be up there. And you're hearing all these bad things that are being done to people. Vicious stuff. Mothers killing babies and all kinds of weird stuff. I think because also there's a whole lot more demonism going on in this country than we even realize. It's a ton of it. It says in Revelation, is a land filled with unclean birds and that's humans and spirits. Revelation 18. So keep on praying that God will protect us from these maniacs out there that are everywhere. All these kind of crimes are on the rise. We got more people in prison in the United States than any other country per capita. And we're number one. America's number one. We're number one in a bunch of these bad categories. That's why we're going down. The head of the establishment chain of command, the divine head, is going to bring it down. We've had our chance. We won't turn around. We won't repudiate this mess. And God's already given us the sign, the big X, the eclipse X. He's given us the sign. And all this other stuff that's coming to gel. Well, they better be these red heifers, because if they get too old, they're disqualified. I'm just telling you. They're like 3 to 4 year olds. They're not little baby calves. They have to grow up to an adult status. And of the 5 they brought over, they had to disqualify one of them. They found a white hair. Well, the genetics of an animal might produce this as age goes on. Civil governments exist for the express purpose of punishing crime. The use of evildoers provides the opportunity to introduce its opposite, those who do right. In agreement with Paul, we have Romans 13:3. He says to these Christians living, and they were a minority. The Roman Empire hadn't declared itself Christian yet. They wouldn't do that until Constantine the Great came along. So during that period, all kinds of bad things people are saying about Christians close to Rome and like these further away. You can imagine what was coming out of their mouths. And they had the truth. They were the minority. You're not patriotic. You're not, because you won't, whatever. Well, patriotism is a funny thing, isn't it? If the rulers up there are not following the Constitution, then they're not patriotic. Now are they? If they're putting our men out in undeclared wars, they're not patriotic. Whether we ought to be going or not, they at least ought to follow the Constitution. They haven't done this since World War II. Korea, Vietnam, and all the rest of these military activities. We did do one good thing recently in this war with Israel. We sent some planes in there and knocked down some of those drones and missiles. The U.S. Air Force. Okay. Tax dollars well spent. In agreement with Paul, Romans 3:3, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Peter mentions praise as well as punishment. Praise and punishment. It was important to Peter and Paul that Christians who were conspicuous in the empire gain a reputation as law-abiding before the Roman authority, because they're looking at them with a fine-tooth comb. They're law-abiding. They pay their taxes. Everything we would ask of any citizen. Don't give us any trouble. They're not out here in the streets, you know, protesting. Now, Christians have done a lot of stupid stuff through the age. I know that. But we're having here the formula for the behavior of the royal family as it relates to our temporal rulers and authorities. Who can argue with that? Pay your taxes. Well, they can be onerous. You're supposed to have a license for this? Get a license for it. Obey these basic principles. So if everyone was like you, the police would have a field day. They'd just be rescuing people. Had car wrecks and stuff. The praise is the result of the good reputations Christians earn before the governing authorities in the face of reckless charges of sedition. Oh, and I told you at the beginning of class, we're going to have a day out here to plant plants on Saturday. I'll give you that more in detail tomorrow night. And also, I've told, and this should be common knowledge, don't feel bad if you're late. Just get here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.